When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sleep Suplex Retweet.
Saturday draft, I like the way you move. Pretty baby. Welcome to Saturday Draft Live. I am David Hockney and I am in the hosting chair once again, joined this time by not from one fanny from air. I've got the second fanny from air. It's Jack Graham.
How are we doing? It's a shame you didn't say Scotty Arfield, you know, when you were doing that song there, Dave. You know, that's what it's all about. But yeah, I'm glad to be here. Happy New Year to everyone. Not been on since the start of the new year. So hope you've all had a good festive period, and I'll back into the lull of working and studying and all that shit.
You know, it was Blue Monday this past week, you know, the saddest day of the year where everybody's just hungover from the festive period. Nobody's getting any money. Nobody's getting any motivation. But we hope to change that here on Saturday Draft Live. Make your weekend that little bit brighter as we navigate through the winter. So we'll kick things off with our top three of the week. And it is another AEW heavy scoring week for this time around. So join 8 points this week. We have Darby Allin and Sting. Now, they were drafted as a tag team in previous seasons, but they're solo picks this season. So Sting is currently Ross McLeod's top scorer with 30 points overall. Never thought I'd expect to see that, you know, compared to the likes of Finn Balor, Gunther, even CM Punk as well. You know, Sting's had a pretty good scoring season so far.
It's quite funny. I think a lot of folk laughed at the thought of Sting being a top round one pick. And when you go and look, the Rhea Ripley's on 30, Cody Rhodes on 30, Damian Priest 29. There's three folk tied for 30 for round one. Also with Cam certified.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the joint top performing round one performer. That's mental. Who would have thought? I know he's in his last run. Obviously, Trick Williams has got like he's obviously top overall with 39 points. But he was what round was he drafted? Like
third round. No,
yeah,
fifth round, which is mental. He's Stacey Smith's highest scoring. Aye. Selection.
But then it's just when just looking at round one, Sting being joint top, that's nothing. I would never thought of me to say, and fair play to Ross. I don't want to commend him considering he might take my spot, but you know, doing that, and it's quite staggering actually.
Although he is scheduled to have his last match with the Young Bucks coming up soon, so. And then he'll retire peacefully at the grand old age of 64. So, been a hell of a run for Sting, but I doubt we're going to see him in future drafts going forward. But you know what? If he is scoring highly in this draft, we might as well have him go out with a bang.
And then in the converse of that, Steven's reaping the rewards with Darby Allin a bit as well. Not the Cam certified, but getting the 15 points. Which, only compared to other last rounds, is I'd say is kind of about that kind of upper mid half. Obviously, you've got Christian Cage on 19, Bryan Danielson 18.5, and whatnot. But then Darby Allin on 15 is kicking about there, so that's another good pick from that. I know Stephen did his from the wheel and whatnot, but still, the performance they have put in, I don't think anyone really expected it.
Yeah, let's not take anything away from the fact that Stephen used a random wheel selector to choose his team. So that's kind of why he's been saddled with Ivar and Raquel Rodriguez, who, I mean, Ivar's had a back and forth with Bronson Reed and some other big guys on the roster. But Darby Allin, you know, we were joking about, you know, he was off doing training for climbing Mount Everest and stuff. But this late surge, teaming with Sting, picking up the wins here and there and appearance points, etc., he's proven to be a decent scorer for a sixth round pick.
Aye, absolutely. It's been a great get so far.
Mm-hmm. But our number one scorer of the week, Eddie Kingston, the Continental Classic champion, successfully defending the title against Wheeler Yuta on Rampage this past week. And is now He is second overall with 36 points total and is the highest scoring newcomer on Tom Brock's team. I think it's safe to say Tom, you know, despite his overall league standing, he's certainly keeping a solid spot in the race with Eddie Kingston on his team here.
Yes, it's obviously this, as we're talking about like the past few weeks as well, the Continental Classic, then winning this Triple Crown Championship and then defending it. I think he's defended it in Collision and then defended it on Rampage, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that's two defences this week. Mm-hmm. So Eric, it's what an underdog pick Eddie King has been for Tom Brock. Because in the third round, he's third overall with captain points all applied across the board. I think he might have it elsewhere. I'm not sure. I can't quite remember, Tom. But he's got 36 points this season.
I just double checked. I think Askus is captain at the minute.
Aye. I bet he wished they fucking had it on Eddie Kingston, considering where Tom is. And yeah. he'd be right up in that conversation, which is a bit unfortunate. But regardless of that, another one, Eddie Kingston's not a name I would have thought I'd have been seen in a top three of the week. Also, we've seen Darby Allin before, back in the heydays of the TNT Championship and whatnot. But as of right now, in the current situation, they three, you would never have picked or thought to have been the top three of a week in the draft. And considering the type of season we're in, where it's the Royal Rumble season and folk try and go WWE heavy, it's quite surreal in a way.
Mm-hmm. I guess people had their eyes on the Continental Classic as well, you know, trying to capitalize on frequent matches, frequent appearances. And if Eddie Kingston was going to as the defending champion, you know, there was always a chance that he was probably going to retain it. And Tom Brock took that gamble, but unfortunately, not putting the captaincy on him has proven to be a bit of a faux pas in hindsight. But regardless, Eddie Kingston, our top scorer this week, and here's hoping he has more Continental Classic title defenses to get Tom up at the table, you know, because one more successful defense could put him within third place, if we're being optimistic. We'll look at the overall standings at the minute just to see how that impacts it. So, bottom of the table quite firmly now, and it's not Stephen Wilson in his random wheel. It's the four-time draft winner, David the Goat Campbell, Team Goat, 42 points. Then we have 13 points ahead of him. We have Stephen Wilson with Wheel of Lore mid-card drafting on 55. Ross McLeod on Imperium Leather with 58. Jonathan Adam, Dark Side of the Onion Ring on 62. Then it's yourself, Jack. I do anything to draft, but I won't do that with 65. 1 point ahead of you is Gary Kernan with Team Viscera. It's a bit of a mixed season for you, I think, Jack, so far. You know, not a lot of big scorers within the middle of your table, but you do have Samoa Joe winning the AEW World title, and you've got Balor making constant appearances on Raw as well.
It's been an interesting season, is at least I think the Finn Balor pick and the Samoa Joe pick's working out. Jey Uso might still come good, but it's that kind of middle three. The family only didn't show up until this week, and it was just a straight to the defense, which is good, I guess. But the points haven't been there for Chelsea Green and JCG, which haven't been that great for me.
Yeah, smack bang in the middle of the table, we have Chris Anthony Lopez and the Bling Generals on 75 points. And then we have a bit of a gap into the top half of the table. So Tom Brock rode back to the Era Divisi on 83 points. And we have The other Ayrshire boy, Ryan Dalgleish, with Dancing Naked Murder on the Dance Floor, is 84 points. And this is where things start to get a little bit competitive, because between Tom Ryan and the next three, only 6.5 points separate them. So this is going to be a very, very tight block of competitiveness going forward. Fifth place, the People's Champion, Grant McRobbie, with Roll to Draft, Push 2.0, 87.5 points. Stacey Smith with Team Bella, 89 points, and just half a point ahead of her. Taking third place this week, it's myself with the West End Country Club, 89.5. But then moving up to the two-horse race, so 12 points ahead of me is Scott McLeod with Drafted Ain't Easy, 103.5, and then Lee McAteer maintaining his number one position this week with Subscribe On Demand Progress plus Jeep Plug, 105 points. So, Jack, it's looking like a two-horse race with only 2 weeks to go till the Royal Rumble. But let's not take anything away from third to seventh place here. So anywhere between myself and Tom Brock could change dramatically within the next couple of weeks.
It's also with the kind of season it is, Dave. You know, it's as much as the table matters and you want your position to look good, it all comes down to that final Royal Rumble match. That's where the big points and the big players come into play. That's where we'll see the biggest shakeups. That's where we'll see the season decided. So obviously you want to be up as high as possible, but I wouldn't fret too much if you are down that bottom half and you think you've got a good competitor for that Royal Rumble match.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Jack, it's now that time. We have to move on to the Listeners League. So I'm going to have to saddle you with the reading through the top five of the week here and also go through the Listeners League Cup.
Oh, yes, yes. Here we go. We are back with the Listeners League, folks. Now, we usually just kind of cut through the top five here. I do have a bit of a cold this week, and my pronunciation of stuff isn't that good to begin with, Dave. But if you could help me with Ross McCluckie's team, I'm not even going to attempt it. You go.
Los Ingobernables de Jamón.
There we go. That's fantastic pronunciation from Dave there. 102 points. He's only just a wee bit ahead of Andy Springer. I said maybe on 100.5. But then a wee bit ahead of Ross is Tam with Brian Tamielson with 103.5 points. Half a point ahead of Tam is Lachlan Hyatt with Kamara Kiss on 104 points. A point ahead of him is Bertie Wanless with £60 million down the drain, 105. And then Alora May has that 15-point gap, the only Prims, 120 points. That kind of talk, aside for Alora, that kind of, even if you look all the way down to about Craig Forsyth, even Ryan Gallagher, like there's 15 points between second place.
I'd go the way as far as Ross Henderson. You know, that's like half the league, 16 competitors. And there's only, 14 points. 16 from second.
That's quite mental. That just shows how competitive and how tight the Listeners League is. So obviously, if any people want to get involved in it, shoot us a message, let us know, and we'll get you involved in next season.
And let's also point out as well that our former Contributors League competitors, Ryan Gallagher and Andy Mitchell, are amongst those in that bracket. So Ryan Gallagher with Shaggers, currently at 92. Andy Mitchell, cream rises to the top, on 97.
Absolutely. So that's kind of how the league is going. But we do also have the Listeners League Cup, Dave, as you alluded to, and the rounds keep a coming here, as we've got Tam up against Mike. He's currently on 25.5 points and Mike with 19. Anthony Fitzpatrick is currently beating Elliot Cantor by half a point, 12.5 to 12. Andy Mitchell has absolutely scudded Mike Nunn, 33 to 18.5. Michael Clothier has got 17 points with Dan Axel Jameson on 13. That's how the left side of the bracket's gone. Ryan Gallagher's just lost out to Alora May. Alora with 27 and Ryan in 23. Andy Springer and Bertie Wanless are currently tied 23 each. But I think Andy Springer's captain has more points than Bertie.
Yeah. This was something we had to check last week. Because of the tie format, we had to check whose captain scored higher. I think Andy won the decider there.
Robert Shaw has got 15 points against Gary Morris's 13. Lachlan Hyatt with 22 points, beating Alan Laurie in 16.5. So I think as it stands in the quarterfinals, we're going to have Tam up against Anthony Fitzpatrick, Andy Mitchell up against Michael Cloutier, Alora May against Andy Springer, and Robert fucking Shaw against Lachlan Hyatt.
Mm-hmm. That was like a good bracket, but remember, we've still got a couple of weeks left, so we'll have to keep an eye on this as it progresses. So the final will be decided, of course, at the Royal Rumble, but we should have an update on who's progressing to the next round by next week. Jack, the last segment we have for today, nice little short and sweet one, something we've not really paid much attention to, given that we were on the subject of Listeners League just there. I wanted to discuss our SDL host Listeners League teams to beat. Now, currently, with our SDL Listeners League teams, Ryan is currently sitting on 81 points. I'm on 82. Stephen is on 100. But you're actually topping the entire Listeners League and the SDL hosts with 135 points overall, 15 points ahead of Elliot Cantor. So,
Yep.
Just to go through the teams here, funnily enough, we all have Rhea Ripley as our round-one picks and as our team captains. So, needless to say, that's had mixed results, but I think it's our undercard picks that have made the difference. So, Jack, because you're top of the table, just... You have Tony Storm, the Creed Brothers, Orange Cassidy, Dragon Lee, and Samoa Joe. Dragon Lee, I think, has been your biggest contributor. You know, he's been a pretty good high scorer with the North American title defenses, although he did drop it to Obafemi, cashing in his breakout tournament contract to become the new champion. So I think that Dragon Lee momentum's probably going to slow down for the rest of the season.
It's a bit unfortunate, but... You know, I'll take the 30 points, whatever it is he's got this season for in the Listeners League team to beat. So that's quite good.
Mm-hmm. So looking at Stephen's standings, he has the acclaimed Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce, Orange Cassidy, Maxime Dupree, and Samoa Joe. Now, you and Stephen Jack have both picked Samoa Joe. He's just won the AEW World Championship from MJF. A bit of a late surge for him, despite being a round six pick in this one. When we discussed last week how, you know, Samoa Joe has been a huge miss from earlier selections, and how he's been left in round six just proves the evidence how valuable he is.
I was surprised he didn't go earlier, because I think anyone that watches AEW should have known that it was essentially an absolute certainty that Samoa Joe was going to be MJF. Mm-hmm. And in a short season, as I know it is Royal Rumble season, but any pay-per-view points is valuable in this season. Obviously, it's valuable every season, but in a short space where there isn't many pay-per-views, surely folks should have thought that that would have happened. And I thought you mentioned her. So I was like, I've got him in our actual draft, getting him in the last round. I was very, very happy.
Mm-hmm. But Orange Cassidy still reports the highest scoring overall with 31 points, just 1 point ahead of Rhea Ripley. So I think the two of you picking Orange Cassidy definitely was a win in itself.
Absolutely, yeah. The International Championship, he's going to have his battle of the belts, title defence against Preston Vance as well, I think.
Yep, that's right. So
more points there for Orange Cassidy.
Magic. My Listeners League team to beat is Rhea Ripley, the acclaimed Solo Sikoa, Chris Statlander, John Moxley, and JD McDonagh. Now, the reason I went with John Moxley was obviously because of the Continental Classic, and I was assuming Chris Statlander would have a bit of a resurgence. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, Chris Statlander is scoring higher than the acclaimed and Solo Sikoa, both of whom had very successful high scoring seasons last time around, with the acclaimed practically carrying the GOAT David Campbell to a fourth draft win. But they've been a lot quieter this season, only 9 points for the acclaimed. So maybe a bit overeager with selecting the acclaimed at round two, but then again, we have to go with what's based on past performance a lot of the time.
Aye, absolutely. It's really interesting, like, this Listeners League team to beat. Has there been a season where we've done this for one of us when we did our Listeners League team to beat and came out on top?
I don't think so, no. I think this was more just a bit of a friendly competition between seeing how well each of us know our listeners' league competitors. And Jack, you've obviously done the best so far. A 15-point gap with 2 weeks to go is certainly something to be pleased with. Particularly, you know, we've got Orange Cassidy, Dragon Lee, and Rhea Ripley all scoring at least 30 points so far.
Only wish that was my team in the actual draft and be worried about Ross replacing me in SDL.
Speaking of which, actually, as it stands, you're only 7 points ahead of Ross.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, how confident are you feeling about that?
Not great. Not great at all, because he's going to have Roman and Logan defending their titles. And I think Ross is doing a captain switch at some point.
To Roman,
yeah. I think it's potentially as of tomorrow? I don't know. I already put it in the chat. We need to double check that.
Mm.
But that's going to hurt me a bit. I need a fucking miracle, I think.
Yeah.
My only saving grace is that I've got a Joe title defense coming next week.
And else, yeah.
Finn Balor and Jey Uso are surely going to have a somewhat okay performance in the Rumble, even though they won't win. So I need hope and pray, but I think it's going to be very tight.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's not leave Ryan hanging, though. We forgot to assess his listeners league team to beat. So his team is Rhea Ripley, Bayley, FTR, Ilya Dragunov, Nia Jax, and JD McDonagh. FTR proven to be the underperformers of his team, unfortunately. They've not had as much exposure this time around, not many wins, etc. A lot of the focus seems to be on Darby Allin and Sting, you know, obviously with Sting's retirement impending and stuff. And now the Young Bucks have come back to challenge them for his last match. So very quiet season for FTR, but let's not take it away from Ilya Dragunov as NXT champion, although he has been kayfabe written out with injury. So it's I think that's put a halt to Ryan's progress, but he does have a potential Royal Rumble winner with Bayley in his team, though. Yeah. That could be a saving grace for him.
I think that Bayley was my prediction from early on to be women's Royal Rumble winner. So I think that'll prove dividends.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's our listeners' league team to beat. And we'll keep an eye on that alongside with the rest of our contributors' league and the listeners' league standings. But I think for the benefit of Jack's own well-being and health, we'll end things there and let him get that necessary mug of tea to get him through the day.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So hope you enjoyed this episode of Saturday Draft Live. And if you want to see more of our content we produce here on Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet, you can follow us on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, and all good podcasting sites. Be sure to visit our socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Suplex Retweet. We are... latest feature show on the career of Rey Mysterio came out this past Friday, so make sure to have a listen to that. ESSR Central will be back up and running as well this coming week. Last week, Ross and Scott talked about a plethora of things, including Kevin Dunn's retirement, TNA coming back, and many more major talking points in the wrestling scene. But all that Rey's say is, Jack, thank you for powering through illness to do this episode with me.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Dave.
I'll let you get back to your bed, and I'm sure you're going to have a super early night tonight. But I've been David Hockney. This has been Saturday Draft Live, and we will see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.